in your bulletin, there's a reminder that in 28 weeks, Vacation Bible School begins. Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I was looking for. 28 weeks, VBS begins. Diane, when's your surgery? This Wednesday. Okay. Remember to pray for Diane for her surgery this Wednesday. And Emily sent me a text regarding Matthew Waltz, 9-year-old, having heart surgery this Tuesday to fix a heart defect. Matthew Waltz. They're going to Boston for the surgery. Sometimes we have to go out of town to get the best care that we can get. I suggested that to Chris Gibson over the last couple of days. Sometimes we need to go to specialists that might not be here. So this is a good time to dismiss the kids. 28 weeks, we're working on kids. 28 weeks, VBS. Mm-hmm. Open your Bibles if you would. I'm not exactly sure where. But I will know shortly. Lynn, it's nice to see you. Thank you for holding our grandbaby. Sweet little Mel Mel. Melanie May. Oh, the cutest name in all the world. All right, I got these pamphlets right here. Jeff, would you mind passing those out and conscripting somebody else to help you? Jason looks available. Ty is too tired being a wrestler at UB. Could you imagine being a wrestler? It's the worst sport in the world. You want to know why? Because you're always tired and you can never eat. And they expect of you to perform physically, and they never allow you to eat. Unless, of course, the coach realizes that at 118, you can go against 135s. And then you can eat forever. Because you're never going to gain weight during the season. But you're that much, you're 20 pounds lighter and they just beat you up, throw you all around the world. Yep. So this morning, we're going to look at your cell phone or your MapQuest thing that you use has that we're using and compare it to maybe the map that God would have us use. Have you ever been lost? I've been lost. Especially when I go to a new place. I was talking to Mary Schilling's granddaughter the other day, Dan's daughter, Danielle. She works downtown. And her dad said, oh, you must be using your phone all the time. She says, no. She says, I want to know where I'm going so I don't get dependent on my phone. So she doesn't use her phone app to figure out. When I was a visiting nurse in Monroe County, they didn't have those kind of things. You know what you had to use back then? An MAP, a map. And really, I only learned when I got lost, because when I got lost, then I had to figure out where I was. I know that sounds corny, but if you know where you are, then you don't really pay too much attention, especially if you're in the passenger seat. There's a huge difference between being a passenger versus being a driver. Give somebody the keys and a car and say, now go there. And you'll say, wait a minute, I don't know how to get there. Well, how many times have you been there? Oh, 100. But you weren't paying attention because you weren't driving. Because you were the passenger, you didn't own the responsibility of getting there. Now, doesn't that sound like our Christian life? We're kind of passengers. Somebody else is driving and not really paying attention to where we are or where we're going. So today I'd like to briefly touch the life of a believer and the life of a local church. This might be way too much to deal with in one sitting. And if it is, we'll go back and visit. So don't feel like, oh, he gave us an entire whale to eat, and all I have is a baby spoon. Don't feel that way. But the handouts are basically there to help us with a visual map of where we're going. So the first diagram is a wheel. It's a circle. You want to know why I made a circle? Because most of us are used to ladders, or most of us are used to what we would call lists. I'm prone to lists. And if you write in any way, shape, or form, and you use English, we go from left to right, top to bottom. Yes? Okay. That can be a danger, because sometimes our lists, or the way we communicate, or the way we illustrate, can give meaning to things that don't necessarily mean them. Okay. Charlene was out of town. She asked me to do the Bible study at the Towers. I prayed about doing the Bible study, and I decided to use the will of God for our lives as believers. So the first diagram that you have is God's will for your life. For a believer, the will of God is known in the Word of God. Now, I'm not mincing words, and I don't mean to be nitpicky, but the will of God and the plan of God are not the same. My fingerprints are not the same as yours, even though we're Homo sapiens together. But my genetic code is not yours. Therefore, we have differences. And God celebrates differences, but yet God also gives the family of God and the child of God direction in the Word of God. Now, if you believe that, say amen. Okay, so when you're first saved, or you're trying to figure out this new culture called Christianity, where everybody dresses weird, everybody talks funny, have a different vocabulary, and their worldview is completely crazy. And you're trying to figure it out. And there's talk about something called the will of God. What is the... So if God is hiding his will, then is he a gracious, kind, loving God? No, God doesn't hide his will from us. He reveals his will to us. How does he reveal it? Through dreams? He used to. At times. Doesn't do that now. If you think so, that's fine, but I would rather go on. Peter said the voice of God coming out of heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," regarding God the Father speaking about God the Son, he said, the word of God is more sure than the voice of heaven speaking out of heaven. So if you think your dreams determine your life, I've got a better alternative. Because my dreams are affected by what I eat. And if I haven't had enough sleep. Or what movie I might have seen. Or watching the last few minutes of the Buffalo Bills game. Your dreams can be affected by your emotional state. The circumstances of your life. And on it goes. So therefore, God removes all that to say, forget about that. You know, forget about your lucky charms. Forget about all of the lots that you throw to figure out, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me. You know, all of those things we do to try to figure out God's plan for our life instead of God's will for our life. God's will is in his word. Now, God's plan is different. And that's what's critical. That's what's so important. So therefore, the circle reminds us that it's not a list where one is more important than the other or one is less important than another. The circle reminds us that they're all important at the same time. If you're a dad, you can come up with a list. What are the various hats you wear? And every once in a while, I do that. What hats do I wear personally? Write them down. Now, those hats give a picture of who you might be as a dad. Now, next sheet of paper. No, I'm just talking. Don't turn that piece. So what I'm trying to say is, so Jeff is a dad, but Jeff's a teacher. So now let's put on all of the hats he wears as a Clarence High School science teacher. All of those hats. How about Jeff as a church member? What does that entail? All the hats. Jeff is a citizen of the United States. He lives in Erie County. He lives in Lancaster, New York. What do those hats? You see what I'm saying? This gets complicated after a while. And the more pieces of paper you have, with the more hats you have, the more tempted you might be to say, how in the world do I prioritize my life when I have so many pressures on me? That's a great question. And you can buy a multitude of books on goal setting, time management, and the list goes on and on and on, prioritizing. And that's all good and wonderful and fine if you're lost. But if you're saved, you have to know the difference between God's will and God's plan. Because I don't know about you, but the person who knows the maze that I'm walking in, he's above my maze. Is he above yours? The corn maze that you're walking in every day, is God over it? Sure. Does he know the end from the beginning? Absolutely. He knows if you should turn right or left. Do you? No. Therefore, we need somebody above us who can direct us in the plan for us. Does that make sense? Excellent. I'm glad you're all with me. Let's look at this circle with 12 spaces. A circle with 12. Now, I was going to give you this circle. This circle only has 10 spaces. And some of you might have gone home without drawing the other two circles. And that would not have been good because you would have had a pie with 10 pieces thinking that the will of God is 10 pieces. I kind of believe the will of God is 12. And we'll figure out the will of God as opposed to it being step one, step two, step three. The will of God being all 12 simultaneously. I'm almost rapping. All 12 happening at the same time, but yet not necessarily in the same set of circumstances. You might be responsible for all 12, but like going by a business that has a neon light, the light might not be on for you at that moment. Just like when you read the scriptures, you might be reading through Psalms, Proverbs, wherever, where the light of the Holy Spirit might not be on that passage of scripture for you for that moment. It might be for another time in your life when you're a dad or a grandpa or you're grieving. You with me? Okay, we got a circle of 12. There are 10 sections and two circles. There's a circle in the middle and there's a circle on the outside. Again, this is two-dimensional. I get that, but this is the only way I could present it. So, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, the book of Luke, the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Where do you think that is on the diagram? Where? The center. Okay, so you can label that. I don't know how you're going to label it. You can draw arrows, but that'll drive you crazy. So you could write down the first commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So where does that go? That goes on the center bullseye, because if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, will that affect every other area of your life? Of course it will. Of course it will. So that's the first thing that we should look at. Now, I've labeled that on your handout, the word devotion. Now, I took away the numbers and I put bullet points. Because if I put numbers, you would tend, like I tend to think, that things are prioritized according to numbers. And usually when we put numbers, they are. But if I remove the numbers and I show you a diagram, it says, wait a minute, this is God's will for your life. And we can prove it biblically. Would that help be helpful to you? Sure, it will be helpful to me too. So we have one, not because it's priority, but I think in light of the entire Bible, when Jesus says to the lawyer, one thing thou lackest, sell all that thou have, give to the poor. But then he says, what is the first and great commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment is likewise. The second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I got on the internet. I got onto all of the internet dictionaries I could under the word love. And I tried to figure out, and I must have read 20 different sermons, explanations of what love thy neighbor means. What everybody, not it, but I read enough to realize this is a very, very difficult concept to put into one word. The one word that I thought maybe summarized it was the word humanitarian. Now, I know there's a secular and a humanistic and a worldly view of that particular word. But when we love our neighbor, I put some other words down there. I put some words like respect, charity, brotherhood, benevolence. Some articles I read use the word justice. If we loved our neighbor, we would be more concerned about justice for them. Okay, so we have the outer circle is humanitarian. The inner circle is, what's the word? Devotion, our love, our service, our divine respect for God. Now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other pieces. How many have ever eaten a pizza pie with 10 pieces? Some of you are so linear that you count. Jeff raised his hand, so it must be he counted. Or he made it and cut it himself. Right? Sure. Now, the only thing about a pizza pie with 10 slices, if you look at this diagram, the only thing that makes sense is the center line. Right? Everything else you have to figure out. So we have 10 other things that in the Word of God is clearly spelled out as God's will for your life. Now we know if it's the first and great commandment, that's God's will for us. To love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? So we've got that nailed down. So we don't have to wonder, what is God's will for my life? Commandment 1, commandment 2. Next, and if we like, if we think this would be valuable, we could go and spend time on every single one of these. You have a blank on the back. You can write down some verses regarding these various other responsibilities we have. The will of God is for you to be saved. That's the will of God. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the will of God for every human being is to be saved. Yes? We get that, right? 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So the will of God for every individual is their salvation. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he gave his life as a ransom, as a redemption, as a purchase possession. He paid the down payment. So we don't have to worry about that bill any longer. Salvation is God's will for everybody. Number two. The next one. I have the word information. That is to know his revealed will. So the will of God for the child of God is to know the will of God. Because it's not hidden. It's not under some rock somewhere. In some treasure chest. It's in the Word of God. Luke 12:47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Romans 2:18, and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. And lastly, Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that good to know? You don't have to guess what the will of God is. The will of God is clear in the Word of God. Praise God for that. We don't have to guess. We don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder. Next. Again, these are not in sequential order, but another one would be thankfulness. Thankfulness, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. For, that's a connective word, means because, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. No question about that one. What is God's will for your life? To be thankful. Next. Submission. 1 Peter 2:13 through 15. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. The will of God is for us to be submissive to those in authority over us. I don't hear any amens on that one. I get it. None of us like authority. None of us like being submissive. That goes anti-human. We have to be superhuman. We have to be spirit human to do that. We got to be spirit filled. Next, sanctified. Well, Pastor, which one of these is more important? Yes. Yes. They're all important. Just like Rebecca being a mom, she's got all of these hats she wears on a daily basis. She's a wife. She's a daughter. She's a sister. She's a mom. She's a citizen. She's a church. There's a lot of things to worry about. Well, what do you worry about the most? Yes. Yes. You worry about the thing that is in front of you now. Isn't that way Jesus ran his ministry? Now, obviously, he knew the end from the beginning, so he knew where he was going at every given moment. We don't know where we're going every moment. We pray every day, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Right? Because thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. So we might be in the hospital with a baby with an incredible fever or not. We know not what a day may bring forth. So therefore, we have to be ready, always ready, for whatever the will of God brings to us regarding the plan of God on that day. Just so you can be prepared, you also need to be sanctified. Sanctification is part of God's will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And it goes on and on. So God wants us to be pure. The will of God for us is to make sure that our temple is regarded as the temple of God. God wants, the will of God for us is to be sanctified. And there's others, obviously. Next, I'm not going to give you a number, but the one after sanctification is to suffer. Mary had texted me and told me the pain she was in. And as her pastor, I grieved. I was concerned. But I couldn't relieve her pain. But I could theologically give her an alternative. Do you know what kind of pain there is out there? Think about all the different pain that people go through. I thought about that and meditated on that for quite a while. And I texted Mary and I said, there are other alternatives that right now you don't have to deal with. You don't have to deal with the pain of worry. You know where you're going. You don't have to deal with the pain of insecurity. You don't have to deal. And I must have wrote 10, 12, 15 different examples of what the world has to deal with that gives them pain because they're not saved. They don't have the truth of God. They don't have the promises of God. They don't have the security of God. They don't have the salvation of God. And on and on and on it goes. Does she have physical pain? Yes. But think about all the pain that she's not experiencing. Not sure if that helped her or not. But that is an alternative, right? When we're in physical pain, boy, do we need relief. But what about emotional pain? What about divorce pain? What about loss of job pain? What about being lost pain? Or these firefighters that were stuck in that firestorm in Australia, and they've got this video where the tires are melting at 600 degrees and they don't know how in the world they're going to get out of there. And they survive. The pain of the moment must have been unbearable. And they all admitted, we thought this was it. And it could have been, it should have been for them. But they survived. I don't know how they survived. Suffering is part of God's will for our life. Did Jesus suffer? Yes. Because the earth is cursed, because man is cursed, because we're sinners, sin has cursed everything. The ground, the heavens, the universe, the galaxies, all of mankind, everything has been cursed because of sin. 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. If the will of God be so, it is better for you to suffer. I don't know why that's there, other than the fact that those that love Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, right? So persecution and suffering are part of it. Next, under suffering, or in addition to suffering, God wants us to surrender. Surrender. I surrender all. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. To surrender is part of God's will. I don't know if I'm going to get through this message at all. Next, Spirit-filled. It is the will of God for you to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Don't be dumb. Don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid. Thinking that God's will is not available to you, or you can't know it, or God's not going to give it to you, or God hasn't. It's right there. Understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God's will for the child of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Next, in that circle of 10 pie pieces, make sure that there is action. Make sure there is performance. During our Christmas season, Jason performed his trumpet. I don't know about you, but if you've ever listened to an elementary school kid learning how to play the trumpet, all of you that are laughing know exactly what I'm talking about. It's like listening to a three-year-old play the violin. It's painful. Yes? But it's the more you practice and you perform, it sounds better. God wants us to not only know His will, but to do it. It makes sense, right? It makes sense. Ephesians 6:6. I could give you a dozen verses. I'll give you one. Ephesians 6:6. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Not only doing the will of God, but doing it to please Him, to be accepted of Him, so that at the judgment seat of Christ, what you have done to serve the Lord doesn't burn up because it was done with the wrong motive. Lastly, God wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That means being Christ-like. To be Christ-like. You want to know why? Be careful, little eyes. Because people are watching us. People are observing our behavior, our example. Our little ones, bigger ones, people in the community, people in your neighborhood, people in your family are watching how we respond to life. To the good, the bad, and the ugly. Romans 8, 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. 2 Corinthians 3:18, for we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Again, I can give you a dozen passages of Scripture on that. So here is the will of God for the child of God in a picture, in a pizza pie. You have the crust. That's love your neighbors yourself. You have the center. Which where they put that little cup in there. Sometimes they put a cup on a pizza. I don't know what to do. So the love of God is in the center, which should touch every other area of the will of God for our lives, right? As well as loving our neighbor should touch every one of those other. Well, Pastor, which one's the most important? I think we know which one's the most important. Well, how can we do all those? You can't. But God can do them through you. But if you're at least familiar, when, this might sound dumb to you, I probably said this at least once, when my oldest daughter got married, I Googled, what are the responsibilities for a dad giving his daughter away in marriage? So why'd you do that? Because I didn't want to miss something. I didn't want to be dumb the day of my daughter's wedding. And I didn't want to be dumb the 6 months leading up to it. Because there are things we might miss, we might not think about. So I wanted to be exposed to some of the things. The Steve Martin movie really bothers me. Father of the Bride. I get nightmares over that movie. I feel so bad for that man. He missed the whole wedding day. I did not want that to happen to me. Jason's wedding, completely different. Not that I love Jason less, but it's a guy thing. And because we were having Jason's wedding here, it was completely different than having your daughter's wedding at the big cathedral, First Bible Baptist Church in Rochester. It's different. So here we have God's will. You might Google, what is the will of God? I don't know what it would say because I've never done that. But I know what the Word of God says. And there might be more. I'm sure there are more. But at least here are 12. Just like when Rebecca becomes a grandma, whenever that happens, she's going to have a lot of other hats to wear. Alicia now an administrator. More hats. I thought it was easy in one school. And it goes on. It goes on and on. As God, we heard a message when Mark was preaching about the difference between talents and gifts. God has gifted us so that when ministries open up to us, God gives us those gifts to perform in the area that God is planning for us to go in that direction. Yes? Okay. Next sheet of paper. So that's the will of God for the child of God. What is the will of God for the church of God? That's a good question. What is the will of God for the church? There's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of opinions. But again, I want to try to make this as simple as possible. So as we begin the new year, that those of us that are children of God know in the church of God, God expects some things for the church as well. Now, please understand that I think we can show that the will of God for the child of God is similar to the will of God for the church of God. God wants the church to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes? On the 400, on the way to Transit Road to wherever it goes. Where does it go? 190? 90? You know where I'm talking about. I'm going west. So I'm on west 400. And there's a road sign. It says, reviews matter. It's got stars. Roswell Park. I said that because Mark Brown sent me a beautiful letter about our church. You can't help but when you're around a group of folks like you folks, you kind of grow on people. And Mark kind of gave us a 5-star review and said, you have an amazing church. So the will of God for the church of God could be similar to the child of God in light of the body principle. Will the body suffer? Yes. Will the body need to surrender? Yes. Will the body be spirit-filled? I hope so. But regarding the church of God, what does God say? What does the Word of God say regarding? Now, before I go to the church of God, forgive me. Pause. Everything that we talked about for God's will for your life, there's no circle here that's empty for the plan of God. So the empty circle is what God is building in your life. That's the plan of God for your life. I didn't know Emily was going to be a part of my church. I knew Emily as a kid. Then I knew Emily as a teenager. Now she's married. She's still the daughter of Mary Lou and Willie. But the plan of God for her life has been unfolding just like the plan of God for your life unfolds. The more we obey the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the more the plan of God that we're on mirrors, I think, what God had in mind for us. However, God is never upset if you make the wrong decision. Some people say, what is God's perfect will for my life? Yes. So if you make a bad decision, God can, like your GPS, recalculate. God is recalculating all the time. Because just like children disappoint their parents, how often do you think we disappoint God? Hello, is anybody home? How many times do you think we disappoint God? And he's recalculating all the time. So if we made a bad decision yesterday, he's already recalculated a new pathway, a new plan for us for today. But usually God will not allow us to go down a new path unless and until we get that old thing settled. Especially if God's commanded us to do something and we rebelliously said no, God will kind of put us on pause. Until we get that right, God's plan for our life might not necessarily be as easy or as visible. God would like to bless those that obey. God doesn't necessarily bless those that don't. That's simple. Okay, so the will of God for the church. Again, why is there a circle? Because I think we would be remiss. We would make a mistake if we put this in order. What is the first priority for the church? Now, I've been saved 36 years, and I've heard hundreds of messages on the number one thing the church ought to do. Well, we know what the church ought to do. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and strength. First and great commandment. Yes, we get that. Therefore, there's a circle. But the circle on this diagram is not the love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The circle around these three is the last one on the list called the glory of God. So in everything that the church does, in everything that God has commanded the church to do, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So therefore, if you parent, do it to the glory of God. If you run the soundboard, do it to the glory of God. If you run the junior church, do it to the glory of God. If you decorate a Christmas tree, do it to the glory of God. Amen? If you shovel the snow, do it to the glory of God. If you change your sink, your toilet, do it to the glory of God. This is going to be the best toilet repair in the world. Amen. So the glory of God should surround and encompass every single thing that God's called us to do. Now, a few years ago, we started a life group. Life group is nothing new. Life group is just a new name for a Sunday school. But we decided to change life group to have more intentionality, to be more focused, because the most participants that most churches have of their working core is found in their Sunday school classes. So in our life groups, whether they be the Spanish class, the English class, whether it be the teen class, whatever it happens to be, God has given us a very simple summary of what he would like the church of God to do. Let me give you those real quickly. They're right there on your diagram. Now, the program that we used, still use, say the reach, teach, and minister. That's true, but I want to, at least at this moment in our church's history, remind us, you're not going to give a newborn baby the responsibility of discipling, evangelizing, and teaching new people, would you? No. So therefore, new babes in Christ need to be trained. They need to be nurtured. They need to be mentored. So I'm deciding, Robert, David, John, Victor, if we had to put this in order, I think the right order would be to teach. Now, I know that word needs a little bit of flavoring, so I put a little bit of flavor there. To teach means to disciple, to train, to enculturate. To reach means to evangelize. And to minister, I stole this phrase from Gary Sauer, our missionary to Brockport, Athletes in Action. This is his ministry philosophy. To minister the gospel means to demonstrate the love of God, the love of Christ, to demystify the character of God. Meaning you're going to love people so they're not afraid of God. You're going to love them as a representative of the living God inside of you. Because they're afraid of God. They don't know God. And they don't have any illustration of who God is outside of us. We are the walking gospel. We are the walking Bible. We are the flesh and blood of Christ on earth. Isn't that what he said in John 14, 15, 16, 17? I go, but I'm saying, staying, you stay here and I'm going to send you as the Father sent me, so send I you. All right, so this obviously we might have to come back to in the future. But as we look at to teach and to train and to model and to enculturate the generation behind us, I believe, how many passages of scripture do I need to demonstrate this? Matthew 4, Jesus said to Simon and Andrew and James and John, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So discipleship is fellowship. In Matthew 4, Jesus went into the synagogues teaching and preaching the gospel. In Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, we have one of the greatest passages of scripture that encourage generational to generational teaching, training, modeling, and discipleship. Deuteronomy 4, Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 11. Here's a verse that I really like. Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. I watched like you did. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you were smarter than I was. Maybe you watched a few minutes of the game yesterday. Unfortunately, I watched the last few minutes of the game, not the first three quarters. You know who might have been the most disappointed person on the entire field? The Buffalo Bill coach. He can't play the game. He's got to watch it. Parents, you can't play the game for your kids. We watch. And isn't it painful? Shucks, that's not what I thought he'd do. But the goal is for the players to give their heart to the coach. And the coach, if he's a good coach, won't stomp on it, won't disrespect it, will do what's right and necessary. Paul said, be ye followers of me. Be ye followers of me, even as also I follow Christ. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And the passages go on and on and on, that God expects the church to teach, to disciple, to train. That's why Matthew 28, 19 and 20, what we call the Great Commission, says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. So we go and preach, we baptize, and we basically teach them how to obey. We teach them how to obey. That's why on the round table, there's a flyer, there's a pamphlet, there's a professional document on classical Christian education. If you're interested, would you please take one of those on your way out? Those are for you to read. That's what the Lord's been breaking my heart about the way we teach and train the next generation. We talked to the young people. We talked about the difference between the calendar of God, the seasons of the year, versus the calendar of man, school. And, of course, when you bring up school to young people, they're not usually very receptive. Want to know why? We've removed the wonder. The wonder's gone. They feel like they're in jail. Did you feel like you were in jail? I did. What happened? Well, when we try to use the world's way to train and disciple God's people, God's way, we don't always get the right results, right? So that's for you to look at if you're interested. Next, not necessarily in order, but simultaneously at the same time, we not only teach, but we need to reach. We need to reach. What are you doing to reach your neighbor? You praying for your neighbor. Do you even know your neighbor's name? It's good to know your neighbor's name. You can't effectively pray for them if you don't know their name. And if you're praying for them, God will make sure you get to know their name. On purpose or by accident. And so we're trying to reach people with the gospel. Obviously, the Great Commission are passages of scripture that we could use. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 1:8. Acts 26, and other passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 9, I want to look at that. Verse 16 says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." So as we teach and we reach, God wants us to open our mouths at the right time to give the gospel to those that need to hear it. And lastly, teach, reach, and minister. What does it mean to minister? A lot of things. It means a lot of things. And you get a lot of opinions and a lot of church problems when we talk about what does it mean to minister to people. Well, that could mean a clothes closet. Do we have a clothes closet? No, some churches do. Do we have a pantry, a food closet? No, we don't. Do we need one? I don't know. That's not the question. The question is, did God ask us to start one? We don't have one, so I assume God hasn't asked us to start one. Do we have a ministry to international students? No. Do we have a ministry to lawyers? Do we have a ministry to doctors? Do we have a ministry to construction workers? Do we have a ministry to Harley riders? Do you realize all of those ministries take place in churches around the country? Just think of a group of people that need the gospel. That's a ministry group. Pregnant ladies that don't want to be or didn't plan to be. We call it Compass Care Buffalo. So there are things that we could do, Vacation Bible School. We're going to minister to a people group. Cindy's brother. Something happened in his life at a particular time. He needed help. I said, sure, I'll come up to the North Country. I'll be a garbage man to help you. So I called Shaw Memorial Hospital, gave up the rest of my summer job being an ICU nurse, and said, would you mind if I cancel those few weeks? No, you do what you've got to do as a family. One of the greatest experiences of my life, on the back of a garbage truck. Now, come on, guys, be with me here now. You're hanging on to that rail. The summer breeze is blowing through your hair, and all you smell is garbage. What could be better? What a memory, huh? Because it was God-led. There was a need, a huge need, that I thought, the Holy Spirit said, you ought to do this. I said, all right, I'll jump on it. Literally, I'll jump on it and do it. Was I ministering the gospel? Sure. What brother-in-law would do that for his brother-in-law? Not many. But that's an act of love in obedience to the Holy Spirit of God leading. And that's what it means to minister to people. as the Holy Spirit leads, and if God has gifted you, God's given you the opportunity, God's given you the talent, the ability. I knew a guy in Rochester who unfortunately went through a divorce. The wife was giving him the house. He was living in an apartment. He was going to move back. And he said to me, I can't move in. I got too many memories. I said, well, what do you want to do? Well, I'd really like to get the whole house painted. But we got a Bible conference coming and I don't have time. And I got a certain amount of window before I can move back in. I said, I'll paint it for you. You'll do what? I'll paint it for you. Top to bottom, the entire inside of his house. He got to go to the Bible conference. I didn't. But I had my own Bible conference, Nate. My Bible conference was in his house. Former pastor of this church had to sell his house in Rochester. And he needed the house painted. FDA, not the FDA. FHA, sorry. They said the house has to be painted before they sold it. So I said to him, I'll paint it. Well, I got to go to camp. I got this incredible responsibility for the next 2 weeks. I can't do this. And I said, it's okay, I got it. I'll paint your whole house for you. So the neighbor said, how much is he paying you? Nothing. That's crazy. My brother came into town, Crazy Peter. He says, what are you doing? I said, I'm painting this guy's house. Why? Because he needs it done. Give me a brush. The next day, the neighbor comes by and says, who are you? I'm his brother. Do you know the guy who owns this house? Nope. What are you doing? Painting. How much is he paying you? Nothing. You people are weird. Yeah. Minister of the gospel. It's not always given out of track. It could be given out a plate of cookies. Could be Christmas bread. It could be biscuits, muffins. You know? God wants us to minister. As God lays it upon our hearts. If we're sensitive to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, God moved in Jason's heart regarding one of the students at his school. He can tell you that story. It's awesome how God moved in their lives to do something special for a particular student. So what's the will of God for the church? Teach, reach, minister. What's the plan of God for our church? That depends. Right? That depends on our obedience. What will this church do? Not for God, but what will this church do as God works through us this year? That depends on you. My job is to coach. My job is to orchestrate. Jason can conduct. I can't, but that's my job is to conduct. Conduct all the different players in the orchestra. All you guys play instruments, spiritually speaking. All I do is conduct the band. Now, the band director obviously must know how to play the instrument. Which means I've been there, done that. I've been in the pew. I wasn't always a pastor. I didn't become a pastor out of the womb. God worked that. And I will do whatever God wants me to do as a servant leader to help you in the ministry God's calling you to do. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Lord, as we begin 2020, our desire, our goal, Lord, is to do things according to the Word of God. Sometimes we don't know God's will because we don't know His Word. And I understand. I remember the first time reading through the Bible. It was confusing. It still is. But God gives light. And the Holy Spirit teaches. Maybe you're here this morning and you've progressed in your spiritual walk. Maybe you're more mature than you were 10 years ago in the Lord. And I trust and pray that's the case. If not, you could begin today. You could begin today. You have the will of God right in front of you. Once we know what the will of God is, we need to do it. And that's good. Lord, you've given us the will of God for our church, for every church. And the point I'm trying to make this morning is, what does God want us to do as a church family tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, for the next 10 years? What is our signature dish? What does God want us to make for the glory of God? I want the truths of what we talked about this morning to simmer like a crock pot, like a good aging chili, just to bubble. The cook. Lord, what would you have me to do? That's a good prayer. Maybe the next prayer should be, what is hindering me from knowing? What is hindering me from doing the plan of God for my life? Lord, would you reveal that to me? He will. Sure shooting, he'll do that. He'll answer that prayer real quick. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And in anticipation, thank you for all you're going to do. Give us the courage. The Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. Don't be afraid. God said that to Joshua so many times, be not afraid, for I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God, show us, empower us, direct us, personally and corporately. Lord, I pray for laborers, because you've commanded your disciples, your church, to pray for laborers, because the harvest is white unto harvest. Lord, we need help. We need good people. We need prodigals to return back to the cross. They need to be recovered and restored. Our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our relatives are lost. They need the gospel. They need Christ. How do we get to them? How do we reach them? We need to pray. We need to minister to them. They need to see the gospel preached before they hear the gospel preached. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. John's going to lead us in our invitation.